Morning. You hear me?
Morning.
Okay. All right. I'll move up a little bit. God bless you guys. Amen. So, that's a good mic. Today is Men's Day. Amen. And just a little backstory. I figured Dad kind of like shed light on it, so I'm going to kind of expound on it a little bit. But we had a meeting basically about, you know, the calendar for the year and things like that. And men's meeting came up, the men's day. And of course, I put my foot in my mouth. And I'm like, oh man, that's great. You know, hey, you know what, we throwing out ideas and things like that. And, you know, me and Nick are kind of going back and forth. And I says, you know, it'd be a nice thing to do is, you know, home improvement. You know, just do it out there. So I was like, oh, it's a great idea. So, you know, Pastor Alvin looks at me and goes, then you're going to preach it. You're going to share that. So I'm like, take the word back. Can I get that back? Can I get that back? But, you know, God knows all things. God knows what he's doing. And we're just vessels of God, you know. And when God calls us to do something, we are obedient to it, of course. And so I pray today that, you know, in the word that I prepare for you, hopefully, that the word of God is spoken, and I just share my heart with you today. But I wanted the message and today's title to be lighthearted. It is Men's Day. I know sometimes, you know, men being the provider of the house and the workers and things like that, we kind of like go through things. And so I just wanted to kind of like bring something that I felt that, you know what, that God wanted to kind of give us direction, give us some type of structure. And I thought the home improvement thing would be kind of like fun to do, but just bring up the title slide and then we're going to go into it. But how many men are you? Wave all the men. Throw your hands up in the air. All right. You know, by the way, I have some props set up, but it didn't come through. So I was going to have the hard hat and the tool belt, kind of do the Tim to tool man thing, you know, like that kind of thing, but it didn't work out that way. But that's all right. You know, God is God and he'll have his way. Amen. Amen. So I titled today's message for Men's Day called Home Improvement, Building God's Way. I don't know, but anyway, it'll get up there. And before I get started, let me pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for your love, oh Father God. And Lord, we just ask that your presence would be amongst us, oh God. And I particularly pray for the men of this house, Lord. Lord, build us up, Lord. Encourage us, oh Father God. Lord, that the work that you are doing in our lives, oh Father God, is a lifelong project, oh Father, and that, Lord, you continue to work in our lives, Lord, continue to build us up, continue to do the things that's necessary, oh Father God, so that we will reflect your glory to be more Christ-like. And Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, I'll have your way with me this day, oh Father God, and just use, Lord, today's message for your glory, oh Father God, and speak to the heart of the men today, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, oh Father God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So title again is Home Improvement, Building God's Way. Again, it's not up there, so we're going. But there's a lot of different reasons why men in particular get involved in home improvement projects. So we kind of like, particularly me, I know some of you guys here, you know, we love to fix things, we love to work on things and paint things, repair things. And it's just part of us, you know. We just like to do it. Men, women too. I know some of the women out here are some home improvement people too. But particularly for the men today, we that's just who we are. We just like to work on things. And so I pointed out some things that I felt why we like to work on things. And the first one here says, I pointed out, says, we like to make things in working order, right? We like to, no one likes to come home and find out their heater is not working, especially during a cold winter. You know, we don't like to come home and find out that the AC is not working in the hot summer. So, you know, it's imperative for men to kind of like make sure things are in working order. And then that's just the way it is. We like to keep things in order. We like to keep things working. We also like to improve the look of our home, improve the look of our place. You know, so we work on that. And that's just part of us. You know, we like to make sure that, you know, the stairwell is structured correctly, the rails are in order, or things are in place. And we work on those things because we want to make sure that our dwelling place looks pretty good. You know, the value of it looks pretty good. You know, it's like, you know, even the little things, you know, it's like the flat screen, for example. You know, instead of it sitting on a TV stand, we want to hang it on the wall. I don't know, it's just a man thing. We just want to have that centerpiece, you know, hang it up, 50-inch, LED, you know, square right in the center, and that's the focus of our attention. So we can just, you know, watch our sporting events and watch our whatever, you know, exactly. And so it's just it's us, you know, we just want things, you know, we tend to drive our people crazy, our wives crazy, and we just want that. And so that's another reason. The third thing is that we always like to repair things that are broken. You know, especially a leaky faucet or anything like that. I have a tendency to, you know, when I hear things in my, like the faucet leaking, it'll drive you crazy. I don't know if you ever like had your house really quiet and all you hear and you're trying to sleep and you put a tissue or something under it, that doesn't work. You really got to change the whole apparatus, you know. Sometimes just changing the faucet is where you got to change everything. So that way it's just back to normal. So we just repair those things. And so another reason why we like to fix things around the house because we like to brag about it. You know, we tell your friends, you know, says, oh, I said, how was your weekend? He said, you know, I put up, you know, put some shelving this week, or I did the shed this in the backyard. How was yours? He says, I spent the whole weekend watching Walking Dead, you know, so I was catching up on things. And so, you know, we like to compare. I said, oh, really? He says, look what I did, you know, put it on Facebook or you show them what you did. And so, you know, it feels good. You know, we brag about it, you know, in a good way. But that's just the man, you know, we like to show what we do, you know, and the things that we build and paint, it makes us feel good because, you know, hey, you know, it's who we are, it's what we do. Another reason why we fix things is because our wives tell us to do it. You know, the honey-do list. You know, sometimes we kind of put things off, you know, at times. And wife says, honey, you know, can you please, you know, change that light fixture or that light bulb or, honey, the refrigerator, the light bulb in there, something, you know. And so, you know, we have these honey-do lists. And so, you know, we do it, you know. And so, you know, funny story. I remember, I'm going to throw myself out there. When my wife had called me and I came off of doing an overnight, so overnight throws you off. So I'm trying to catch some sleep before she got home so I can, you know, get food ready. I told her, she says, babe, are you going to make dinner? I said, yeah, I'll take care of that. I said, okay, no problem. She says, are you going to pick me up at the bus stop? I said, yeah, I'll take care of that too. Don't worry about it. I always slept, you know, because I was really tired. So I keep the phone next to me, you know, and all these texts are coming through. I said, I'm 4 minutes away. And I was still in my shorts, and I was like, oh, no. I said, babe, I can't pick you up. She's okay. So I knew she was on her way. Didn't have anything prepared. Nothing was so. I'm hustling. I got everything together. Put the clothes in the laundry bin. And I cleaned the dishes faster than anybody ever seen. I washed everything real quick. Just as the key is open the door, she's fingered open. The last thing I did was grab the laundry bag, and I flung it right into the room. So she didn't see it. I'm like, hey, baby, how you doing? And, you know, it was like, it was too late. You know, you couldn't front. I couldn't front it. And she was like, looking at me, she says, you didn't do anything, did you? I said, no, what are you talking about? Looking around. You know, all these things, you know. And so, you know, it was just, it was bad. It was really bad. So my wife was like, you know, she was really upset about it. But thank God, you know, she forgave me. But, you know, we have honey do lists, you know. And so we do things at home because our wife, you know, asks us to do them. Another reason why we do things is because we like to, you know, pay a visit, you know, to the local hardware store, Home Depot. I love going to Home Depot. You know, Home Depot is like the woman's version of Sephora. You know, women go to Sephora, pick up the makeup kit, you know, do all this stuff. Men go to Home Depot, pick up the yeah, this feels good in the hand, you know, and then you see the price, like you put it back and you walk and you keep going. But I love Home Depot. I go to it as much as I can. You know, I come home and I'm driving, I see the sign and make a turn, and I'm in there. And I just like to walk up and down the aisle. And it's just, I don't know, I like it. You know, I like to look at the tools and the circular saws and things like that. And so it's just something that I love to do. So that's another reason why we do it. So all these different things we, you know, as men, you know, we embark on as home improvement people. You know, it's what we do. Another thing is, people, men in particular, like to do things like that because they like to bond with them, with other men. You know, sometimes when you have a project, you know, you can't do it yourself or whatever, and you call your friends over and it's a good time. You know, it's like, you know, you work on this, you work on that, and it's kind of like a good, you know, good time to bond. And then the last thing here is we always are looking for something to do. I mean, it's just the way we are. You know, it's like you're constantly looking for something. I drive my wife crazy sometimes. It's like, you know, I'm always looking to change something, always looking to hang something or rearrange something or to drill something. And it's like, well, hey, this is fine. Relax. You know, it's like if I see, you know, like say a chip paint, you know, then I go crazy. I'm like, then I got to touch it up. You know, it's like one of those things. It's just, I'm always looking. And that's the way we are. We just like to look for things to do. It's just in our nature. You know, we constantly working and drudging and just moving because we were just made to do those things. And all those things typically are done by what they would consider do-it-yourselfers. You ever heard that term? Do-it-yourselfers? They have a DIY books. You go to stores. It's like, do-it-yourself. You know, how many do-it-yourselfers we have here, men? How many like to do things on their own? You don't like to call. I'm one of them. I admit. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. You know, we all just do things. You know, we just like, I can do this. You know, I don't need anybody. And so we do it. Even though we know we're messing it up royally, we still want to do it. You know, we still try to do things. You know, it's just in our nature. You know, it's like, you know, you're mixing the wires and the outlet. You know, you better make sure you do it right because you plug it in, you can start a fire. You know, one of those things. And, you know, I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I like to do things and just try to do it. You know, I'm good with mechanical things. My wife is excellent with technology. You know, she had bought at the time when we bought our first TiVo years ago. We got it for Christmas. This is when we were living in Parkchester. And we got it and we out the box and we were programming the channels. And I'm getting frustrated. I said, I'm going to return this thing today. I don't want it. She says, give me the remote. She's up there and she does it. Boom, done. So it's more technically inclined than I am, believe it or not. But I'm more, I guess, mechanically inclined. You know, but that's just in our nature. We, you know, we watch TV shows and, you know, we watch these home improvement shows, you know, like Bob Vila and, you know, This Old House. And we just try to get ideas and things that can help us improve our living dwelling places. And it's just the way we do things. I love to look at these videos and take a class and different carpentry classes and things like that because, again, it's us. You know, it's who men are. You know, it's not that, you know, we're, you know, these knucklehead guys and, you know, we don't think of anything else, but, you know, we care about our home. We care about our dwelling places. And so that's, you know, in our nature to do these things. And so thinking about those things and putting those things together, and I'm kind of like, you know, mulling over this message. I looked at the word home and improvement. You know, it's two words, a title, but I want to talk about just the definition of those words. And home really means, it's a very simple definition. It means the place in which one's domestic affections are centered. It's a place where your heart's at. You know, you ever heard the phrase, home is where the heart is at? You know, so this is where you're at. You know, so you're going to pour everything into that. And an improvement is basically two definitions. There's a lot of definitions, but I just picked out two that I thought was pretty effective. It says, an act of improving or the state of being improved. And the second one is a change, or I don't think it's on the PowerPoint, but I'll try to read slowly. It says a change or addition by which a thing is improved. So you got home and you got these improvements and put these things together. And so when you're thinking about these things, you know, as men, you know, we have in our hearts and our nature to always repair things. But the interesting thing about what we do is that we constantly work on things and we constantly fix things, only to find out later on that we got to fix it again. And it's like, you keep doing it. You keep fixing it. And it's great. It's okay. It's just what we do. But it's this constant thing. It's like almost an endless pursuit, if you would, that whatever we put our hearts into and when we fix things, it winds up breaking again, and then we got to fix it again. Something we hang up, it comes down. You know, we paint something, the paint gets, you know, dull. We paint it again. You know, we fix a toilet fixture or a leaky faucet, years down the line, it breaks again. And it's a constant thing. And you'll be fixing to the day you die. And that's just the way it is. This what we're going to be doing to the day we die. We're going to always be fixing. However, there's just some things here that I wanted to kind of like parallel here, show comparisons to, is that when we fix things, it's almost like an effortless, it gets to a point where we do things and it just doesn't give us satisfaction after a while. You know, we kind of run the muck of it. We kind of say, you know what, this is just not, you know, I'm doing it, but what's missing here? And then here, one thing that came to mind is the book of Psalms 127. And this is where I wanted to kind of point here. So scripture where it says in Psalms 127, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Amen. I'll read that again. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. The word vain is defined as ineffectual or unsuccessful, futile. without real significance, value, or importance, baseless and worthless. And so here, the scripture here is teaching us that through Solomon, it's telling us that when we build things, and this is referring to the house of the Lord, but it also refers to our own personal lives, that we see ourselves building things, it becomes, we're doing it in vain. It becomes like, all right, I'm just doing this just because I have nothing better to do, per se. You know, I'm just doing it, and it just seems to be, you know, a strain, or it becomes, you know, a mundane thing. And what the scripture is saying is that, you know, in this particular, it's talking about the house of the Lord, is that when we build without God, it becomes in vain. You know, and it also applies into our house. Now, this is just the exterior part. Now, let's talk about the interior part. Because though men like to build without, God likes to build from within. See the difference. You see, we build because we like to show and prove. We like to, like, have things in order. God builds within and then show out. You know, so there's a difference. There's a contrast. And so we see this, and again, it says that God performs different home improvements according to how we perform them. And so we have to understand these differences here. And I wanted to touch a little bit on the book of Haggai. My wife spoke on during a women's conference, and we kind of like were comparing each other's notes. And I said, you know, babe, that's a great, you know, great story. She goes, you know, let's use it. You just use it. I said, well, it's the word of God. Just turn quickly to the book of Haggai. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. There's only two chapters, but I wanted to hit chapter 1 and then a little bit on chapter 2. And you know the story here. This the house of the Lord was pretty much in ruin, and it was neglected for like almost like I think 16 to 18 years. It was like just completely neglected. And then it says here in chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. I'll read it. It says, "Now this is what the Lord Almighty says: Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says: Give careful thought." Again, he's emphasizing, "Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountain and bring down timber and build a house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld the dew, and the earth is cropped." Now listen, God is not totally against us building our own homes. He's not. The problem is when we neglect our own selves in the Lord. You know, as much as we build, and as much as we construct, and as much as we improve things around us, God is not necessarily concerned. He cares about those things, but he's not concerned about those things, because what he's more concerned about is you, as a man, building yourselves up in the Lord. And if we neglect ourselves, everything that we do, let me tell you something. If you work on anything, and I'll be honest, I have a lot of things I want to endeavor. You know, I have dreams, I have hopes. But I tell you, if I endeavor in anything in my life and God is not in it, it's going to be futile. It's going to mean nothing. You can work on the greatest endeavor. You can work on a business. You can work on a dream, anything that you want. But if God is not in the centerpiece of that endeavor, it's going to end up in ruins. And this is the core of man's existence. We kind of go on in life, and we endeavor to do things, and things just do not bring satisfaction anymore. You know, you used to be happy about doing certain things. Now all of a sudden, because God's not in the picture, you know, you don't have the joy of the Lord anymore, and it's not there. You know, and God wants us to have this joy. He wants us to have His blessings, but we have to make Him the centerpiece. And so here, the scripture is parallel to us today, is that we have to be endeavored to put God before everything that we do. You can have your homes. You can have your paneled houses. You can have these things, but do not neglect the things of God. Do not neglect the home, which is us, the church. Don't neglect those things, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to stand before the Lord. Nothing else. You know, it is great that we embark on home improvements, and it's great that we embark on different things. But, you know, God is using this as a parallel. He's saying, yeah, you're doing all these things, but at the end, it means nothing because you're doing it in vain. Psalms 127 says what? Unless the Lord, what? Builds a house. You know, in anything that you do, you know, have God needs to be the center of it. What you're doing, your businesses or your endeavors, your ideas, make sure God is the centerpiece of that. Because if you're working and God's not in the middle of it and God is not in the center of it, you're going to just end up accomplishing it, but not being filled, not being satisfied. And that's nothing worse, man, than going through life and doing all that you want, everything that you dream for, to find out later on when you look back, God was not in it. You know, they just burn away. You know, this is why he says, you bring these things and you build them, I just blew them away. Not because God hates us and God doesn't want us to have these things, but because they had no purpose. And God's purpose needs to be in the middle of it. And then it goes on in chapter 2, but God gives us an encouragement. He says, be strong. Chapter 2, verse, verses 3. Actually, I came with it. Let's start from verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? Okay, he's talking about when the house of the Lord was built and it was former, it was glorious, until it was neglected. He says, how does it look to you now? This is prophetic, by the way. Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am what? I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. You know, how many of you guys, you know, you don't have to answer this, but, you know, you want to pursue something, but all of a sudden, when you think about it, and there's a fear that comes upon you. You know, you want to start a business, but, you know, oh, man, it's like, I don't know, I might fail. You know, it's just this fear. It's just, I don't know where. It's just, ooh, wait a minute. Why am I feeling this all of a sudden? You know, you go to work and there's a promotion there, or you want to get that promotion. All of a sudden, irrational fear comes upon you. It says, wait a minute, I know I can do this. Why all of a sudden I have a fear about that? You know, why is that? Are we pursuing it without God? Because if that's the case, then that's the Spirit of God is not there. See, wherever the Spirit of God is, so is boldness. There's no fear. God gives us perfect peace. And so sometimes we become, and men, as we are, a little knuckleheaded sometimes because we're hard, we're headstrong because we want to do things our way. And we just want to just, you know, conquer and destroy and build and whatever, discover, and God is not in the middle of it, that sometimes we, at the end of it, we're like, you know, wait a minute, this is not the way it's supposed to be. You know, and this fear we're talking about here, and God says, I am with you. As long as you keep me with you, you should have nothing to fear. You can build with confidence. You can repair with confidence. And I'm talking about your life, and I'm talking about the things of God. God will give us victory. He will give us blessings if we keep Him first in our lives. And I like this story here because, again, the men who neglected, when they first started to build the house of the Lord, they neglected it. And it was a long period of time. You ever let something undone for a long time and have to go back and repair it? You know, it's pretty bad. You know, so you go back and it's worse than when you first started. And so God wants us to pay attention to our own life. You know, what are you building for? Are you building for yourself or are you building because of the Lord? You know, I take satisfaction, and I'm going to be straight up, I take satisfaction whenever I do things for God. You know, it brings joy. You know, whether I'm designing something or whether I'm doing something for the Lord, it brings me joy because I know that at the end of the day, He gets glory. I know at the end of the day that thing, that whatever I worked on, is even though God used me to do it, is going to stand the test of time because there's God in it. But for some reason, when you do it for something for yourself, it's like, you know, for me, it's like, ugh, it just doesn't work. It's empty. It's like, ugh, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter anymore, you know, because God is not there. And I love to please God. I want to please God. You know, I want Him to be glorified. And I want Him to say, you know what? You know, it's not what I did, but it's what God did. You know, this is my work, Lord. This is what I give to you. And this is what I built for you. And that God will be honored with that. You will find success in that. You know, in anything that you do. You know, a lot of people have a hard time saying, well, I can't start a business because I cannot start a business and be godly at the same time. You know, you can't. You know, God is not looking for a business person. He's looking for a godly business person. You know, you can be an influence in your generation, but put God first. Let God be the centerpiece. Let God be the focus. And when we're building and we're home improving ourselves, don't forget that God needs to be in the middle of it. He's the centerpiece. Turn to Matthew, and we're going to want to kind of just wrap up a little bit here. And the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Jesus speaks, and it says here, I'm reading from the NIV version, which I don't usually do. I need New King James Version, but I can't find my New King James Version. It says here, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who has built his house on the rock. The rain come down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell with a great crash. This is Jesus speaking about, of course, building on him. Building on his word. Building on his promises. There's 3 points. I'm just going to close with this. There's 3 points that I just want to hit real quick before we wrap up this morning, or this afternoon, rather. But in order for us to build and to experience any type of success in our lives when it comes to doing things successfully, whether we're building, whether we're pursuing, is we need to follow these 3 principles. Very simple. Number one, hear his words. That's number one, right off the bat. Jesus says, hear these words. As men, especially the do-it-yourselfers, we don't like to hear certain things sometimes. We just like to, like, you know, do it ourselves, basically. You know, somebody's trying to give you advice, you know, and trying to direct you. And then I got it. You know, I got this. Don't worry about it. And then 10 hours later, you're still working on the same thing. And it's like, you okay? You know, it's just like, it's possible, man. It's impossible. You know, it's like, you know, hear the words. Hear God's words. Proverbs 8:3 says, hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Don't refuse God's words. Don't refuse his wisdom. Don't refuse it, because it will have an adverse effect on you later on. You know, if we expect it to be the man of God that God's called us to build according to his plan, don't refuse his wisdom. Don't refuse it, because it's only going to help you. If you don't, it's going to be a recipe for disaster. You know, and so we have to do these things. And what are these things that God is telling us to do? You know, practical stuff. He said, when God says, don't treat your spouse that way, don't talk to her that way, do you hear what he's saying? Ephesians 25 says, you know, it says, love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself up to her for her. You know, you catch yourself when God's whispering to you and says, no, this is not the way you treat your woman. This is not the way you talk to your wife. You know, and God will bring that correction. Do you hear that? And say, you know what? I need to repent of that. You know, God is not here to make you feel better. He just wants you to be the man of God that he's called you to be. But he's listening, but he's speaking to us. And he's telling us these things. He says, you know, when God says, you know, stop what you're doing. You know, sometimes God's saying, stop the way you're talking. Stop the way you're thinking. Stop the way you're acting. You know, these are things that, you know, we need to take heed to and through the word of God. You know, because it's just going to make us better men of God, you know, and improve us as men. So God is calling us on those things in a loving way. Number two, Jesus points out, he says, put them into practice. He says, put them into practice. The New King James Version says, be a doer of it. Do these things. But practice is a very practical application. Practice is just a repetitive thing. It takes practice to be a man of God. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, you're not going to come to church one Sunday and all of a sudden, you know, you arrive. It doesn't work that way. It takes work. It takes practice. But God will give us the spirit. God will help us. You know, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen. And so, you know, it takes practice. We have to work on it. Work on reading the word. Work on praying. Work on fellowship. You know, these things God wants us to practice. And Jesus says, it's his word, not mine. It says practice. Put them into practice. We forget the practical things in life. We forget that we think that we can read the word for 1 week and then we can go on the rest of the week without it. You know, but if we read and we practice and we apply these things, you're going to start seeing changes in your own life. You're going to start seeing, you know what, the things that used to get you upset, you know, doesn't get you upset anymore. When you used to fly off the handle, all of a sudden you're in check. You know, it's like, wait a minute. So I've been putting these things into practice. You know, Psalms, the first chapter of Psalms is a powerful Psalm. It's an orderly thing. We'll go to it in a bit. But we have to be a people, a men, that puts the Word of God into practice. You know, you heard that practice what you preach. Well, that's true. We need to put things into practice. Practice being a godly man. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, God, you know, if that was the case, God would have saved you and killed you, sent you to heaven. But, you know, we're here for a reason, because God is working out our salvation. We have to work it out with Him. Amen? God wants to practice loving our spouses, loving your children. It takes work. Practice having integrity. That's a huge one. You know, integrity is something you don't see. It's just within. You know, integrity is what you do when no one's looking. And, you know, how do you act when no one's looking? How do you respond when no one's looking? How do you interact when no one's looking? You know, working in a building industry, you know, as a doorman, people always like to try to, like, bribe you on things. You know, say, hey, take a 20, you know, take a 100, and, you know, let me just do something here. And I'm like, nope. You know, I one time, it's crazy. I had where I work at, there's rules and regulations, you know, that we must follow. And one of those rules is there's no activities on weekends, no commercial activities, no moving in, no moving out. I had a resident, a diplomat, who wanted to move on Saturday. So I said, no, you can't move. I mean, you got, the truck came. I mean, they had like boxes, they had all these things ready to come in. And I'm standing there, I'm like, wait. And I was like, I was new to the job. And the diplomat comes down and he puts his hand like this, and there was a 20. I looked at it, I said, nah, I don't want that. He said, no. I said, no, that's all right. Don't worry about it. And then they came in, they gave me like a coconut water. I mean, they were trying everything to get me like to bend the rules. Even to the point where I even had a guy come up to me and threaten me. You know, I was like, listen, man. I said, you're not getting the building and you're not bribing me. It's not going to happen. Later on, you know, after I explained myself and he kind of blew his top, you know, he came back and he apologized, because if he would have listened to what I was saying in the first place and followed the regulations, it wouldn't have got to this point. But, you know, I could easily say, yeah, sure, you know, no problem, you know, but why would I do that? Why would I? Because when you compromise your integrity, you're selling out to things of the world. Don't trade, don't, your integrity should not be for sale. You know, that's what God's given us. You know, your integrity is not for sale. Practice that. You know, it takes work, but practice that. You know, because you're always going to be tempted to compromise your integrity, always. But you have to stand firm in the things of God and practice in walking in His ways. And the number three is build on the rock. Build on Jesus. Amen. We're building a lot of things these days. But what are you building on? You know, you have an endeavor, you have a dream, but if that is not built on Christ, guarantee it's not gonna succeed. We have to build on the things of God. We have to build on Jesus. You know, Jesus says it here in His Word. What was He saying? He was referring to Himself. He was giving them a parable, but He was referring to Himself. So you build on Me. When the storms come, when the trials come, when the winds blow, and they'll beat on the house, it's not going to collapse, because you built it on Me. And so anything that we endeavor, when even our businesses, even our endeavors, our dreams, when it's built on God, when those things are met with trials and tribulations, and when the winds are blowing against it, it will stand, because God is in the middle of it. And God is the centerpiece of that. And so we have to take understand that. It says, you know what? Next time you think about a home improvement project, just think about that. It says, you know what? God, be the center of what I'm doing. You know, I don't want to endeavor to do things in vain. You know, that's the worst. To do things in life, to find out later on that it just had no worth. It's the worst. Your marriages, build them on Christ. Yes. Amen? You know, God is building from within. He wants to build your marriages, but it's got to be built on Him. Because those things, if it's not, it's going to crumble. Your relationships need to be built on Christ. Your ministry has to be built on Christ. Amen? You know, people in ministry, we do things because we just want to do them, because we're talented, but they have no merit in God, and, you know, there's no fruit. We have to be built in God. Amen? So men, I encourage you today, you know, be a man that will put these things into practice. Hear His Word. It's number one. Number one. Okay? Put them into practice. You know, it's just practical stuff. You know, you want to be good at something, you know what? Practice God's Word. Practice walking in his precepts. Practice in I sound like Allen Iverson. Practice. Practice. You know, it's like repetitive. Right? and build on God Himself. Build on His Word. Build on His principles. And you will see that, you know, it's something that we have to understand, amen, that, you know, when we do these things, you know, and I, for one, I'm speaking from the heart. I know for a fact, when I do things and God's not in the middle of it, it's frustrating, man. It's just like, what's the point? You know, it's like, forget about it, you know. But when God is in it, it just brings you joy, you know. It brings you, it just strengthens you, you know, and it gives you a different perspective in life. So that's just the word of the day, just be focused on God. And I just wanted to admonish the men this morning. I want to thank all the men. But if this word has ministered to you in any way, you know, and God's saying, you know what? And you heard it and you say, you know what? I need to improve in these things in my life. I need to work on, you know, I invite you up. I want to pray as we close. Amen.